Today's daf from the Sechet Shviyas Yerushalmi, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Ayin Beit. And we're continuing the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who just bit off the head of a groupie who wanted to paskin like him. Actually, he had a snake do the biting. Anyway, once we're talking about that, so there was another maase where, of course, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai caused a lot of problems when he got out of his cave. So let's just remember what happened. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Ava Tamir B'Maharat Atlatas Arshnin. So, in typical Yerushalmi fashion, you know, we'll cut out the details of the story because it was 12 years and it was 1 year. Actually, it was 13 years, okay, in shorthand. So, total of 13 years. And he's in this cave that is a cave of Charuvim. So, okay, these were obviously not actually growing in the cave, but the cave was in the Charuvim and was not visible. And they were there so long, Achehela Gufo Chaluda, because remember they didn't have any clothes, so they used to get into sand, they needed to keep their clothes for davening. And so they ended up destroying their skin, and their skin was covered with molds, and therefore, you know, fungi of different kinds. Anyway, so then at the end of 13 years, the Sof Tlatas Harshin Omar, Lena Nafikhomi Makolo Be'alma, you don't think it's good news, we should go out and see whether there's still a gezeira against us, maybe we can come out. So Nafak V'yosil Al-Pum De Marata, so he goes out, he sits there at the entrance, and he sees So he sees a guy who's going out hunting birds, and this guy's got his traps set for the birds. And Shama Brat Kol Amra Dimos Vishtaziva. He hears a bas call that says, Dimos. Dimos means, okay, have mercy and let the guy off the din. In this case, the Dimos was obviously meant for the bird. So there's a basko paskening that the bird should get free, kitzipor nimlotnu, mipach yokshim. And the bird goes free. So he says, sheesh, amar tzipor mibalade shamaya lo yovda. Even a bird doesn't get trapped if there isn't a gzera min hashamayim. So koshikin barnosha. So then I'm human, so for sure, there's always this chance of demos. Okay, so katchama de shatra milaya. So when he now looked around more, I mean, according to our Gemara, you know, Eliyahu Hanavi came by, and so on. So he saw that it's over and that it's all sort of been quiet. Shatra means quiet down. And he said, Nechot nichame ba'adin dimus in the Tverayim. So let's go and warm up and get our skin healed by going to Chamit Veria. And this was the whole story of Pichas Ben Yoyer. He was his son-in-law, and he was crying when he saw how bad his skin was, and it was hurting him to go into the Tveria Springs. And then he said, Ashrecha sheritani bekach, sheomali ritani bekach, lo matzata bekach. Fine, all of this is now all included in the fact that they went to Tveria. And while he's in Tveria, he says, well, we got such hanoah from Tveria, we should do something for Tveria the same way Yaakov Avinu did something for Shechem. So tzrichim anan lasot takana, it says vayichan es pnei ha'ir, that Yaakov Avinu felt that he had to do something for Shechem. So kamo she'asu avotenu, we should do also. And that teaches us that Yaakov Avinu was oisin hitlasi. So they made shvakim, and that allowed people to come in and to have fairs in Shechem, and it became a commercial center. So that was a big teva for them. Meichron Bashuk. Fine. So that way everybody was happy. Prices came down. Shechem grew. Wonderful. No good deed is ever unrequited. Yep. Anyway, Omar, so he said, look, maybe what we should do for Tveria is we should be Nadake Tveria. Tveria's got this whole area with a Suffolk tumor. And the Koanim have to walk around an extra mile to go all the way around the center of town because wasn't sure whether they had a right to walk here because there were there was a Masorah that there were Kvarim that were there. So let's do something and we'll undo the Tumah. So what did he do? This is a different story than we have. He cut Turmasin. He took these Turmasin and he was Mekatsets. He cut them into little pieces, umekalek, and then he threw them all over the place. And there was an ace everywhere. Kol hen avimeta, avitaya v'salak le'mil'el. So wherever there was a body that was buried, the body would actually fly up. There was no longer. There means a lot of yeah, Rabbanu.
Except it's an ace, but it's built on the teva that the lupines identify dead organic matter, mm-hmm. use them as a simon of where there's a city, etc. The archaeologists use it as a simon.
How is that?
They thrive on dead organic matter. So, for example, Lupine Hill and this ancient Soho, the lupines helped identify
wow.
the place.
Now that is a valuable shot. I mean, it doesn't fit in all that much with the scattering them and so on and nace, but still, it would mean...
Why lupines?
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Wow. I mean, Lamaisa, I mean, there is like a whole medrash about it, about this thing. That is brought here by the Mefarshim, that he knew that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used the area where the Kohanim were to cut lupines, right? And he was a Kohen. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a Kohen. So he must have had a Masorah that this place was okay, in the specific place where he was. So in order to show it wasn't Stam, and he was being Semech on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so he used Turmasi, okay? Whatever, but that's a very valuable pshat, what you're saying. Very beautiful. Wow. Anyway, so Chamtichat Kusi. There was a Kusi who saw him doing this, and he says to himself, wow, what an opportunity to make a joke out of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So, Lena Azza Mafli Badein Sabad Yudai. This is not a good opportunity to go out there and make an ass out of this old Jewish man. Azal, so he went. He took a mace, and he put it in a place that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had already gotten rid of the mace, and he said, this area is tahar. And then he comes, also the guy, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he says to him, Rabbi, lo dachita atar plan, didn't you clear this place out of mace? I know of a mace that's buried there. So come with me and I'll show you there. Atya, come with me. Va'ana mafik l'chamita mintaman. I'll show you there's another mace there. Now, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai knew with Ruach HaKodesh that this guy himself had been the one who put the mace there. So he went there and he said, Gozerani ala elyonim sheyerdu, tachtonim sheyalu. I think it would be a great idea to switch places. Let the kuti, who's on top of the ground, get under the ground, and let the mate come out from under the ground, and v'chenavitle, and that's what happened. The mate comes back to life, it means that he literally took the life of the kuti, and the kuti was exchanged with the mate. Anyway, me'avar kameh mugdala, shoma kale de safra, so they're passing by, I don't know whether this is the city of Magdala, or whether it just means a certain Migdal, I don't know, that makes more sense that it should be Magdala, because it's in the area. And he hears the voice of a Malamed Tinoike that is saying, oh, there goes that Bar Yochai guy, the man who was Medake Tveria. Unbelievable. Like now all of a sudden the halacha doesn't matter, it's miracle-making time, you know. Next thing you know, we're going to have a Meron. So anyway, he's making fun of him. Omar le, yavo alai, im lo shamati, shetveri atida li taher. Afilu kein, lo hemani. Weren't you, so this is the question of afilu kein lo hamani hayita, is the maisa in the Bavli. that this was the same person that had been there the whole time, and you're making fun of me. So that's the lesson in the Bavli, that you were part of the Besdin, that we did this together, and now you're making fun of me. So if that's the case, miyad nasa gal shalat samot, which is basically the end of the way that we had it in the Bavli as well. Okay, we're up to now, Perek Tes, Halacha Beis. So this is the Mishnah that we learned at great length, where Barnea helped us with all of his maps, and I'm assuming he has his maps again. Shosh Aratzot Lebi'ur. So we have three different areas that are Koveya, whether something is available in the Sada or not. Because remember, what's the din of Bi'ur? The Torah compares that the Chayat HaSadeh are supposed to be able to eat together with you and your behemoth, right? So from there we learned that Kozman, that the particular produce, is available L'Chayab out there in the Sadeh. So then you're allowed to keep it in your house. But if you took it out of the Sadeh and now the Chayah no longer has it in the Sadeh available, then you have to get it out of your house. That's the Moker of Biur. Now the question is, what Sada? I mean, from Dafka, from your own Sada? From the backyard where you took it from? It has to be available? Or in general it's available? So we understand that the meaning isn't that specific Sada. It means that it's still available to wild animals that are able to go around and to find this particular species. But that would mean that it would have to be in the territory. It would be the same territory that the animal usually goes around in. So now understanding the differences of those territories brings us to a recognition of different topologies and different climates. So there is the maximum that we're able to be semich on something in an area. So therefore we split up Eretz Yisrael into three areas, Yehuda, Eiver HaYarden, VeHaGalil. And even if something is available in area B and you are in area C, so then you're not going to be able to keep it and you're going to have to be mavirid if it's not available in area C. And different species will have different times at which they grow. And furthermore, each one of these three aratzot, they themselves have different topologies, because there's areas that are mountainous, there are areas that are just the flatlands, and then you have actually the valleys in all of these areas. So we have the three areas, let's say, in the Galil, would be the Galil HaElyon, the Galil HaTachton, and the Emek. So there's lots of Emek, obviously, in the Galil as well, and those are considered to be three different issues. Do you have a map for Barnea or no? That you can show us? These are.
Is this visible? One second.
Not great.
I'll just say that the mountains of the Galil Elyon are like 1,200 meters. The mountains of Galil Tachton are 600 to 700 meters. The Emek around Tveria, you know, cuts in between them. Kfar Hanania is at the Tzomet Chalafta in that area there. It's a very clear distinction of moving from one area to another.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then what that would mean is, if you could maybe just take a picture of it and put it up on the DAF group, that would help.
I'll look for one. I don't rely on this one.
Fine. Okay, so then if you are in a particular area where the topology allows for this thing to be grown still in your general area of the Galil, so then you can eat it. But if not, it only grows in the valley, let's say, and you're up in the mountain, then you wouldn't be able to even eat it in the Galil itself. So Mikvar Hananya Vilamala, so everything from Kvar Hananya up, and the simon is Kol She'enu Migadel Sikamim, Wherever you don't have sikkim, we say sikkim because of sycamore, which is the English of sikkim. So that area is called the Galil HaElyon, because they only grow, sycamore trees only grow in lower areas. They don't grow in mountain territory. So that's called the Galila Elyon. From Kvar Hanania Vilamata, over there, Koshu Migadel Shikmin, that's also in areas where sycamores do grow, and that is called the area of the Galila Tachta. And all around Tveria, where things are very much on Amek, that's one of the deep Ameks that end up getting into the deepest Amek on Earth. So the Tchum Tveria, that's called the Amek of the Galil, and there's some things that are only going to grow around that area. So it depends where you live in the Galil. We have the same thing in Yehuda. Yehuda, we refer to the three areas, Hahar, so that's Hara Yehuda, Hashvela, the Ha'emek. So there too, we've got these three areas, and let me tell you where they are. Shvelat Lod, Kishvelat Hadaron. And the area around Lod, which is a Shvela, is exactly the same as the Shvelat Hadaron, and the Har Shela is the same as Yehuda itself, Kihar HaMelech, and Mibet Choron Ad Hayam is all called Medina Achat. Do you have anything that will help us with this, Rebarnea? Because the area around Lud is very confusing, because it has both Har and it has the Shvela. So what's the din? Is it all part of one thing or not? So the Mishnah is telling us no. There are parts of Lud that are considered to be the equivalent of Yehuda. Now, as far as the Har HaMelech, that is a big issue, which we're going to be talking about later on. But can you tell us about Choron, Beit Choron, and what's the higher Beit Choron and the lower Beit Choron? Can you explain any of that and where the Har HaMelech is? Can you give us indications of that, Reb Barnea, please, on the map?
I'm sending a map in a minute. I was very struck. I was in the base in Latrun, where they have an educational center, and I stood on the roof. And you can literally see it, the transition from the Beit Choron area and sloping down to the hills, and then being the plains reaching Lod. I told somebody, you see the Mishnah draped on the landscape.
Wow.
It was very, very striking. Beit Choron Elyon and Tachton is Beit Or Atachta and Beit Or, forgot the words for it, but we have the two Arab villages are on the ancient path. You say, Chaim Ageniel, Rosham, took me there just as the Intifada was starting, so we could still be there. You see the ancient Roman road, which was Ma'ale Beit Haron, the famous Ma'ale Beit Haron of both Yeshua and the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. And there is a place called Beit Haron, Upper Beit Haron, and Lower Beit Haron, that the Arab names retain it. And you sense this path to come up from the coast, to come up into the mountains. And that's where you, the Maccabee, cut off the Greeks on that area, and that's where Yeshua did. The modern road runs right next to it. You go into the Yeshuv, not Mevol Haron, Beit Haron, and they made a little amphitheater there to show you the road and to sense it. So when you're driving on that road, you sense you're coming down from the mountain, you're passing Beit Haron, and you're coming out to Lod and to Tel Aviv. That's the road. 443.
Yeah.
443 is basically following this line. What was Rabbi Har HaMelech is a discussion I'm going to say, don't know. What was the other question?
Well, we're going to get to Har HaMelech later. Okay, so then we'll wait till we get there. I just want to point out a number of issues over here that we've discussed at great length when we were doing the Mishnayos, and that is that if it's telling us that Mibet Choron Ad Hayam Medina Achat Kepashtas, then it's telling us that there are really four Aratzot Lebiur, not Shalosh Aratzot Lebiur. This is a big issue, which is Mamish discussed Halacha L'maisa, and it seems that Ein Achinami. There are four Aratzot. There are only three Aratzot that have three topologies in those three Aratzot. But there's a different area, which is from Beit Choron until the Yam. So that's a very different way of understanding the Mishnah. It's Mamish Nogel Halacha, Rav Avadi Yosef dealt with the issue, and so did many of the other Peskei Shvias, like the Chazanish and others. Okay. Then there's another fascinating issue.
Sorry, really, what's the fourth area?
But Mi Beit Haron Ad Hayam is called a different country, Medina Achat, to the sea. Yeah. So now the other question is what is all of this referring to, Bichlal? This area of Shvelat Lud and so on. So there's this, remember the Rambam has his very different understanding of this whole thing. According to him, it's talking about basically the area of Ever HaYarden. That's how the Rambam understands it, which was never identified. So, okay, when we go further on, we'll take a look at these Nafka Minas in the different Pirushim. So, Lama Amru Shalosh HaRetzot. So, what's the point of all of this? Asks the Mishnah. Shiu Ochlem B'kol Achas V'Achas Achi Yechleha Acharon Sheba. Each one of these has its own specific time of Biur. And so, in other words, it turns out there are nine different areas plus the tenth of the Beit Choron. And each one of them has a unique din. And then you can continue to eat until the Zman HaBiur in your particular area. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Lo omru shalosh aratzot ela b'Yehuda. V'shar kol aratzot ar kahar hamelech. This halacha of there being shalosh aratzot that have each one of them, you said, has three different topographies. The only part that is considered to have three different topographies is Dafka in Yehuda. And therefore, it's true that it has to be in your particular area. But the other six that you're defining are not considered to be different things. And all over in Eretz Yisrael, we go according to what's available in Har HaMelech, which we're going to be discussing, what Har HaMelech is. So therefore, the only time that it's different in terms of Biur is if you're living in Yehuda. All other elements are the same as Har HaMelech in Yehuda. V'chol ha'aratzot ke'achat v'zeitim v'le'tmarim. Everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, the zeitim and the tmarim essentially follow the same. It doesn't matter because they're all dependent on the same specific types of climate and topography. And because of that, they all relate in the same way. They disappear at the same time. And the biur is, because of that, not nogea specifically where you are, because they are very sensitive to precisely where they're grown. Okay, we'll go over this again, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow to get the details of the Mishnah. Meanwhile, I wish you all a wonderful day, full of a week leading into Purim and getting closer and closer to not only the Nisim, Nistorim, they're all around us all the time anyway, but the incredible Megillah of the Nisim, Nistorim. We should be Zeche to Mechias HaMolech in every sense, the Sherish of HaMolech, and to finally a happy Geula Shlema, Acharit Kereshit.
Maybe just one quick question on that. So reflecting in the Mediterranean climate, because there's much more rain than it's the northern part of the country.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again? I didn't hear what you said.
So I'll be factoring in the two factors. One, that Eretz Yisrael is called the Mediterranean climate. So there's the northern part of the country gets much more rain than the southern part of the country, which is the breakdown of these three different areas, and the fact that we're in a shadow mountain. The mountains stop the rain from getting to Ever HaYarden, so it stops the rain, which is affects the produce, the growth of the produce. And the second factor is the altitude. So in each one of these three regions, or four regions, where there's different levels of rainfall, it'll be affected by the height, the altitude. So each part grows differently at a different altitude, the lowlands, the hill country, and
yeah,
the
that's,
islands.
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah said. Yeah, that's the point of the Mishnah. Okay, Rabbosai.
I posted some maps and Bermuda Landis and Sal has an entire page of a pilpul on this Amud of Shvius Yerushalmi. So I posted that also.
Who is that?
Bermuda Landis and Sal. Landi from Telstone. He's a big bucky, and he was descendant of the girl, big bucky in Shas. He was there. I think he was there then. He worked with Menachem Sklar in the day, whatever the yeshiva was in Telstone that was Makarev. So he was nifter at a young age just some time ago, but he put out four svarim. One of them is this one. I've shown it before. So he has an entire pilpul just on this, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, being Matar Tveria. It's a whole page on this. I posted that also.
Very sweet. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Baruch Hashem. Okay, thank you, Rabbanah. Thank you for everybody for your additional input, the more the merrier. I'm waiting for Baruch Avron to give us the real blast, but we'll wait until we get to his area. culture. You're muted, buddy. But we get the general idea. It's like Avi's new glasses. Cultural.